Well, praise the Lord. Good to see you back this evening. Take your Bible and let's turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 15. 1 John chapter number 15. I wonder, would there be anybody brave enough to quote 1 John 15, verse number 4 and verse number 5 tonight? No, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Is that what you're saying? John 15, verses 4 and 5. Anybody? Yes. All right, Mr. Henry.
John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me shall bring forth much fruit.
That's right. That's all right. You got it. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. There's still a couple cards on the back table. If you want to get in on this, we'll give you opportunity, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. The Sunday following that. That'll be the last in our series of Abiding in Christ. Amen. So go ahead and get that out. Well, in John chapter 15, we're looking at verses 1 through verse number 11. So if you found your place, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of the Word of God. We continue in our series of Abiding in Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to be looking at abiding in His pleasure. The Bible says in John chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this evening, oh Father God, we're asking you this evening, Father, that you would help us to have an understanding in this area of abiding. Oh Father, we need to have this abiding of your pleasure, of this great joy that you have for us as believers. Oh Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people that have gathered here this evening, Father. Help them, Father, not to walk away from this service, from this time of preaching and Bible study, Father, not having understood these great truths, particularly found in the last verse of our text. Oh God, I pray you'll help us to understand that there is a difference between happiness and joy. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Father, I ask that you would be with those who can't be here today. We think of the Barbara Bowen family and the loss of her son, Reginald, Father. Oh, what a sudden tragic loss that was, Father. But we know that even in that loss, Father, that you're going to receive some honor and glory because you tell us that it will. So, Father, we pray for your people, those that can't be here because they don't drive at night and are sick and not feeling well. We think of Teresa and others, Father. I pray that you might touch their bodies, Father. You might heal them, be a help and a blessing to them. And, Father, when it's all said and done this evening, We'll be careful to give you all the honor and all the glory, for nobody deserves it any more than thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When Harry Truman became the president of the United States, he was worried about losing touch with the common everyday American. So he would often go out and be among the Americans in Washington, D.C. One evening, Truman decided to stroll down to the Memorial Bridge on the Potomac River. And while he was there, he was curious about the mechanism that raised and lowered that bridge, or that middle span of that bridge, to allow boats to come back and forth underneath it. And he made his way across the catwalks through the inner workings of the bridge, a place that nobody should really be, especially the President of the United States. And today, they wouldn't let him get anywhere near this, and let alone let him take a stroll down through Washington without his security detail. And suddenly, underneath that bridge, in the catacombs of the inner working of the bridge, he came across the bridge tender. He was eating his supper out of an old tin bucket like they used to use many, many years ago. And that man, as he saw the Mr. President, really showed absolutely no surprise when he looked up and saw perhaps the best known man at that time in the United States and the most powerful man in all the world. He just finished chewing his food. He politely swallowed his food. He wiped his mouth off with his hanky, and he smiled and looked at the Mr. President and said this, "You know, Mr. President, I was just thinking about you." You see, it's a greeting that Truman adored, and he never, ever forgot that greeting that bridge tender gave him that night. I thought about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful when Jesus Christ suddenly appears in the clouds at the rapture of the church? If he would look up to him as we are being lifted up and he say, "You know, Lord, I was just thinking about you." And you can if you discover the great pleasure and the great joy of abiding in Jesus Christ. And there's no doubt the message of Jesus was on the hearts and minds of his disciples as they made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane that night. Our Lord had just really shared a sobering message with those disciples. In John chapter 14, he told them of a soon departure, but yet he assured them of something this, of a future return. He also promised that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, would come. And no doubt while they thought on this wonderful Comforter that was going to come, I'm sure in the minds of the disciples, it was very difficult for them to comprehend just exactly how this Comforter would be so real to them as they ministered and worked for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in John chapter 15, Jesus again turns to his disciples and told them of his desire that they would abide in him and bear much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that Jesus shared with these two chapters are very serious, and they are very serious. When you consider especially this, that Jesus was preaching and teaching and speaking to relatively new Christians. They would be new Christians as we would look at them, the disciples. You see, Jesus was preparing them for a journey that he was going to have to take to the cross of Calvary. He shared his burdens with them. I can almost sometimes sense the responsibilities that the disciples must have felt as Jesus spoke about his soon coming death. And I believe this as we thought about the responsibilities that the disciples must have thought about. No doubt it probably crossed their mind. I don't care what Jesus said. He's the Son of God. He's not going to go to a cross. He's not going to die for the sins of all mankind. You see, Jesus was preparing them for his ultimate journey to Calvary. He shared his burden with them. And we find that Jesus indicated that everything that he's been telling them, everything that he's been preaching about, even though it was serious, he was telling them that so that the disciples and our joy as well could be full, because Jesus wanted his disciples and he wants you and I to have full joy in our life. The Christian who abides in Jesus Christ, the Christian who abides in his pleasure and will know the joy of the Lord. If you say, "I don't have the joy of the Lord in my life," it could possibly be that it's because you're not abiding in Jesus Christ. Because he tells us that if we abide in him, that we will have his pleasure and we will know the joy of the Lord. You see, Christianity is not to be a duty. It's not to be something that we feel that we have to do. We must go serve. We must go to church. We must read our Bible. We must pray. We must soul win. It ought to be a delight. And oftentimes today, too many people don't have the abiding presence of Jesus Christ in their life and their Christian ministry, their whole totality of their life. And Jesus Christ is a duty, but God wants us to be a delight. And that's what Jesus wants for you and I tonight. And he gives us a Bible full of commandments. He gives us a Bible full of precepts. But there's not given so that we can live a miserable life. He doesn't give us the precepts and commandments in here so we can be miserable beings down here on this world. Jesus gives these commandments to you and I. He gives these precepts to you and I that the Bible said that our joy will be full. Notice, first of all, this evening, as we think about abiding in the presence of Christ, notice the conditions for joy. Look at verse number 11 of our text. The Bible says, "These things I have spoken unto you." Once again, we see that if you and I are going to have joy as God's child, you must listen, get this now, listen to the Word of God. Jesus speaks words of joy in this passage, and he expects us to do two things. Number one, to hear it, and then to receive it in our life. If we don't listen to the words of the Lord, we cannot and will not experience the true joy of a Christian life. Charles Spurgeon, perhaps one of the greatest English preachers of the last century, said his objective was not only that he would know the truth. He went on to say, but that he would know the joy in the truth. You see, it wasn't just about learning and memorizing and knowing the truth of God's Word. It was having the joy of the truth of God's Word. You see, Jesus just doesn't want us to come to church to learn and get knowledge. Now, we ought to learn some things while we're in church. Don't get me wrong. And through your Bible studies and Sunday school class, your teachers ought to be teaching you some things. And you ought to learn some things. But really, understand this, that he wants us to have joy in our hearts because of the truths that we learn in church. It's not about the knowledge. It's about the joy that comes from that knowledge. In John 8 and verse 32, we find the words of our Savior. He says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, the truth of the Word of God brings freedom. It brings joy into the hearts of Christian. And I have no doubt that God speaks to us through His Word. You say, how do you know that? Because He speaks to me through His Word. Because He said He speaks through His Word. So the question today is not this. We should not ask this question, is God speaking to men? The question ought to be this, are men listening to God? And so many times we get that so confused. And oftentimes during the invitation time, I say this, if God has chosen to speak to your heart, are you willing to obey and be obedient to what He has for you this morning? So I guess we could sum it up this way and say this, that Jesus is speaking through His Word. The question to you and I is, are you listening? Sometimes we listen to everything but the words of Jesus. I mean, listen, the world is speaking to us through all the media, whether it be the internet, whether it be the television, whether it be through radio, whether it be through your personal phones, it makes no difference. People are speaking to us through our personal experiences with them. So the question I submit to you this evening is this, whom will you listen to? Will you listen to the world? Will you listen to the media? Will you listen to people? Or are you going to listen to the Word of God? If you're depending upon people and circumstances for your joy, guess what? Then you have not learned the truth of abiding in His pleasure. You see, because we abide in the pleasure of Jesus Christ, it begins when we listen to the Word of God. And then we need Jesus 24/7. Too many times today, Christians believe that they just need Jesus on Sunday morning and Sunday night and perhaps Wednesday if you really force them to come. But we need Jesus 24/7. So when we think about the conditions for joy, understand this. First of all, this evening, we must hear the Word of God. The conditions for joy and the presence of Jesus Christ begins with us hearing the word, and then it moves to believing the word, and then it moves to obeying the words of Jesus Christ. And we have to act upon what Jesus Christ is saying. I must apply what Jesus is saying to my life. It's not good enough just to hear. It's not good enough to just believe. We must obey the words that we have heard and we believe if we're going to exhibit the abiding presence and joy of Jesus Christ in our life. So the question should not be this. Do you believe Philippians 4:4 where it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The real question for you and I tonight is this. Will you rejoice in the Lord? It's not if you should believe in that verse. The question is, will you rejoice in the Lord? Because we're commanded to. We must hear the word of God. Then secondly, we must respond to the word of God. Understand this evening that God is a sovereign God. And He knows every decision that you and I are going to make even before we make it. We could sum it up this way. Oftentimes, when they ask me, do I have the answer? And I said, no, I don't have the answer. I don't even know what the question is. But with God, it's not that way. Listen, He knows the answer and the question before you even think about it, amen. That's the way He is. He knows every decision that you're going to make. But we need to realize that God has given us a free will, and He gives us an opportunity to do what's right by Him. We choose whether or not we want joy when we choose to listen to His word. And so God's word is clear. I must make a decision. If you choose to be obedient to the word after hearing the word and believing the word, guess what? You exercise that free will. And by your decision, guess what? You're deciding to abide in the very presence of Christ. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18 says this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive trees fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no more herd in the stalls. Notice what verse 18 says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, Habakkuk really said it this way. He said, I don't care what I lost. He said, I don't care if I lost all my money, all my flocks, all my crops. You see, Habakkuk was determined to rejoice in God because of the joy of his salvation. You know, that word joy is mentioned over 19 different times in the book of Philippians. And the funny thing about that word joy, and as Warren Wiersbe calls that book, his commentary on that book, Be Joyful, and I think it's kind of ironic that this book of joy was written to people who were suffering in a really bad way. Understand this evening that you can't depend upon your circumstances. You can't depend upon your job. You can't depend upon your health. You can't even depend upon your friends or your spouse or even your church to find joy in your life. You're going to have to decide right here, right now, tonight, that you're going to find joy in the Word of God that never changes. Really, the conditions for you to have this kind of abiding presence in Christ, or the term joy, is actually quite simple. We already made mention of it before. Number one, hear God's word, believe God's word, and obey God's word. It's a choice that you have to make. And so if you don't have this abiding presence of Christ in your life, this kind of joy, it's because you choose not to pick it. So I ask you and submit to you today, what's your choice going to be? Well, not only do we see the conditions for joy, but then notice the constancy of joy. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So think about it for a moment. When we have the mind of Jesus Christ through the Word of God, we can and should have joy in our life. So again, if there's no joy in your life, guess what that probably means? That means that your mind is not where it ought to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. His joy remains as we focus on His Word. James 1:8 says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I think one of the reasons that Christians and such as you and I struggle with having consistent joy in their life is because of double-mindedness and a lack of stability in our life. One day we're up, the next day that we're down. It's like a roller coaster at Disney World I just came back from. One moment you're up, the next moment you're down, the next moment you're going upside down. And that's the way our lives seem. Why is that? We struggle with consistent joy because of the double-mindedness of ourself and the lack of stability. Understand this, that our highs and lows are going to be varied in a Christian life. We're not always going to be high up on a mountaintop. We're not always going to be in the lowest part of the valley or somewhere in between. But understand this, our highs and lows are varied rather than anchoring our heart to the truth. And getting God's word gives us stability when we let our emotions dictate our attitude. And so, my friends, get stable on the word of God. And you don't have to be up one day and down the next. Now, I know that we're going to have good and bad days. But listen, the drop from the high to the low ought to be less and less as we mature in Jesus Christ. We ought to get ourselves on a steady, even plane because of the constancy of the joy of Jesus Christ. Understand this, that his joy presides over any heartache that you ever have been through, that you're going through now, or that you ever will go through. And the reason Christians never experience joy is not because Jesus is having a supply shortage of joy. That's not the reason. It's not his fault. And if it's not his fault, guess what? It's our fault. He has all the joy that we could ever want. He has it there for us. It's available for us. He promises it to us. And the best part, guess what? It's free. Won't cost you a dime. The other day when the ladies were getting ready to go, On the trip to go down south to the ladies' meeting, I noticed that one of the tire low light was on in the van. And so the van was taken to get washed, and I said, well, I'm just going to pull over here, and I'm just going to put some air into it. Little beknownst to me that it cost $1 for that air machine to operate. And I said, well, I can put $1 in since I'm already here. But I didn't have a dollar bill. And of course, it's a Baptist van. There's no change in the little thing, you know. No change anywhere. I read the sign that said it could take my debit card. And I thought, not in your life. I don't know who's been here before me or going to take my card. And so I came back to the church and I filled it up. And I guess really what I'm trying to say is simply this, is that no matter what comes our way, we can still find great joy in it. And there are times when problems come our way, and understand this, that they come our way, and that joy that's available to us is free. So just like the air at the church, when I finally got back to the church, it was free. It didn't cost me a dime. I didn't have to pay a dollar or use my debit card. His joy is free, and it's available to you if you'll just do what it takes to get that. The problem is that we don't align ourselves up with God's word. And if you don't believe it and you don't appropriate it into your life, guess what? You are not going to receive that kind of joy. Notice what Jesus said. He said that my joy might, get this next word, remain in you. His joy can overcome any heartache that this earth can throw your way, because our joy is based upon his resurrection, not our present circumstances. Hebrews 12:2, we find this true taught. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So think about it now. Well, hanging on the cross of Calvary, Jesus suffered probably the most excruciating pain that anyone could be put through. He suffered there for this one particular reason, because he loved you and I. The Bible tells us in the verse that we just read in Hebrews 12 that he despised the shame. He was, but still despising the shame, he was still able to endure the cross. How could he do that? It was so excruciating. Most men would just cry out to the soldiers and say, just kill me, stab me, put me out of my misery. How could Jesus do that? Let me tell you how he could do it. Because he looked forward to the joy that was set before him. Jesus Christ focused not on his death on the cross, but he focused on that empty tomb. He focused on sitting on the right hand of God the Father. He focused on the millions upon millions of people who would have their sins forgiven, who will be able to spend an eternity with him and the Father up in heaven. For the joy, the Bible says, that was set before him, he endured the cross. So let the joy of your Bible sink into your heart tonight. It doesn't matter what trial that you're going through, or you just came through, or one that you know you're headed into. It doesn't matter what burden you're carrying deep in your soul this evening. Joy has been set before you. And get this, you can endure it. It's not a temporary joy. Jesus said it's an everlasting joy. Maybe your spouse or a child of yours is following a pathway that leads directly opposite from Jesus Christ. Maybe your home is broken and busted up tonight. Maybe there's ice in your stomach every time that you go to the mailbox and to get your mail because you think there might be another bill in that mailbox that you can't pay. No matter what your situation is tonight, no matter what the cross is that you're bearing tonight, understand this. Jesus said there is joy for you. In Psalm 30, in verse number 5, the end part of that verse, the Bible says this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. See, you may experience the darkest hour of your life. Your strength may be faint, and your hope may be dim, but get this, hold on. Dawn is coming, and with that new beginning of that new day, joy is always available. The thing is, you have to do your part to receive it. Well, not only do we see the conditions for joy, the constancy of joy, but notice lastly tonight, the completeness of joy. You know, our Lord gives us a very undeniable promise in His Word. And not only can our joy remain constant, but get this, it says our joy can be full. You understand this evening that His joy completely fills us. Anyone wants to be full. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Dave? Well, I never went to a restaurant and left the restaurant and said, well, I wish I was only half full. I never one time did that. I never went to the gas station and said, well, I'm going to leave half empty. I never once did that. Every one of us wants to be full. And it's the same truth in our Christian life. Jesus intends for our lives, both mine and yours, to be full of joy. That is His content, to completely fill us up. So as the proverb goes, that our cup runneth over. Amen. That's the kind of joy and the fullness to be completely filled with the power of God. Jesus wants you to be filled with His joy. You say, well, why does He want that? Well, how about this for a good reason? So when the devil brings you a plate of temptation your way, you can look at the devil, look at that temptation, and you can say, no way, it's not for me. I'm so full of the love of God and the joy of God from the teaching of His Word, I can't accept what you're offering to me today. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the Bible says this, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. You wonder why you're so easily given into temptation? It's because you don't have the joy of the Lord. You don't have His strength. You don't have His abiding presence in your life. His joy must completely fill you. And you say, well, I know some people that can be topped off, Pastor. Hope you're preaching to them. Well, maybe I am, but I'm also preaching to you. I'm preaching to me, and I'm preaching to everyone else. We find His joy completely fills, but then notice this. His joy exceeds sin's thrill. His joy exceeds sin's thrill. You know, the pleasure of an abiding relationship with Christ is not like anything else in all this world. It supersedes any relationship that you have. And whether your spouses, your children, your boss, your co-workers, it supersedes all that. See, the world offers all kinds of things to make us feel good. They offer amusement parks and ballparks and ball games, and they give us a temporary satisfaction. But when the fun is over and the ball game is done and you're on your way home, guess what you're left with? You're left with the feeling of emptiness. But Jesus promises us that when the fun is over, guess what? We still can have joy in our life. Psalm 16:11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is," get this, "fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Let me illustrate it to you this way. One day there was a Russian countess who accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And she was so joyful and so thankful that she began to openly testify to others that she had trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. But when the Tsar found out, he was very displeased and he had her thrown into prison. The very next day, after she had spent over 24 hours in the very worst conditions imaginable, he sent for her and brought her to him immediately. And as she began to approach him, he very sarcastically said this, "So, are you ready to renounce your silly faith in Jesus Christ and come back into the pleasures of the court?" The countess smiled and bowed as she should, and said this to him, O king, one day in prison with Jesus has brought me more real joy and real happiness than I ever knew during my lifetime in the courts of the Tsar." You see, when we're in the presence of the Lord, when we're gathered around His Word, there is a fullness of joy unlike others would never know. So as we close tonight, let me ask you this question. Are you joyful in the Lord? Is the joy of the Lord your strength, or have you been dining with Satan lately? Are you filled with the world's cares and the world's philosophies of life so you can't be filled with the joy of the Lord? If you're not experiencing the presence of Christ or His joy in your life, choose today, this night, to abide in Jesus Christ. And when you abide with Him and you remain with Him and you live out His Word and you're obedient to His Word, you can experience full and abundant joy in your life like you never have experienced ever before. You see, the happiness of this world is fleeting and it's only temporary. But the joy of Jesus Christ is abundant, never ending, and it's eternal. He desires to fill both you and I with His joy if you abide in Him, abide in His words, obey His commandments. As you hear and respond to the Word of God as is preached and taught, you'll find the constant, complete joy for which your heart is longing. So as we close, the million-dollar question is, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? If not, it's not His fault. It has to be our fault. He promises it to us. He said it will be full and it will be complete if we'll abide in His words and obey His commandments. We'll be in the fullness of joy. Wouldn't you want to have that kind of joy resounding deep from within your soul? Father, we thank You for the Word of God this evening. We thank You, Father, for this precious truth as taught from Your Word today. Oh, Father, as we think about abiding in His pleasure, oh, Father, we know that if we will do that, we'll have great joy in our life. So, Father, I pray today for those that might be here this evening, Father, that are not experiencing this type of joy in their life. Father, I ask that they might understand the work that it takes to experience it. Father, not only hear the Word, they'll believe it, and then they'll apply those truths to their life. Father, it's been the same in the Old Testament days, same in the New Testament days. It still hasn't changed for us people in the age of grace, Father. That's the way we can experience the fullness of your joy, an eternal joy that would be renewed every day as we constantly, consistently abide in you and abide in your word. So, Father, we pray now for this time of invitation. Save the one that might be here that's lost, that never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, for the Christians, I pray that they would ask himself that ever-present question, am I abiding in the fullness of his joy? So, Lord, have your will and way during this hymn invitation, and we give you thanks and honor. In Christ's name we pray.